Welcome to our fourth episode of our podcast, Up on Foil, where we talk to people and about that beautiful feeling being on foil. And I'm Matt in Switzerland.
I'm Gael, living in Cyprus, currently in France. And we have a special guest.
Yes, and it's Mauros. He's the CEO of Indiana Paddle Surf. He is co-founder and CEO, and he was actually world champion of slalom skateboarding in 2004 and 2005. And I met him at the Swiss Championship of pump foiling in Wingels. Very cool guy, very relaxed. And I thought we absolutely have to talk to him. Mauros, thank you for having us. We're in your showroom.
It's a pleasure.
Did I forget anything?
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. No, that's fine so far.
All right, good. And we're going to go through a couple of questions. And my question is, as you have this world champion title of skateboarding, how did you end up on water?
It's very close. I love board sports since I was a little kid. So beginning with skateboarding, then snowboarding, then windsurfing, surfing, kitesurfing, etc. And I was born in Zurich, close to the river Limmat. And we used to go quite often for swimming and jumping into the river, and started actually with the first board sport, which was river boarding with an 80-meter climbing rope, which was elastic. We could surf on that river and do some turns and having fun. It was quite a lot of adrenaline, and it was quite risky as well.
So you always need to have someone at the bridge, right, to cut the rope if necessary.
Yes, exactly. So we used to have a sharp knife or like a garden scissor, yeah, which was very much needed to cut the rope in the right moment, because it's not a lot of time if something happens.
Did you have to do that?
No, fortunately not, but in history, a lot of people died doing this.
Right. All right. But you were one of the first ones. Sorry, God. Go ahead.
No. I guess it was quite common since the 70s, 80s. I guess we were not the first ones, but some of them doing it quite often in Zurich in the, I would say, 80s, 81, 2. And then we moved a little bit to the countryside, where we did the same on the Reuss. Yeah.
That's very cool. Are you older than me? How old are you?
I feel and look much older, yes. I'm 49.
All right, that's a little older than God as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. So is it like a kind of bungee foiling, but without the foil, what you were doing in the river?
It was more like standing on the same area or point, so we could move to the right, to the left, and because the climbing rope was elastic, we could put some energy in the rope and push forward maybe 10-15 meters, but it was not what you know from bungee surfing or bungee foiling. But it was more or less maybe the roots and quite similar.
And then eventually, and that's why we're here, you went on foil. Can you describe the feeling that you had the first time you were on foil?
I guess the first time on foil was 2017 in Fuerte, taking a lesson from Gunnar Binios, okay, our current member of the foil development team and marking in Fuerteventura. So he gave me a kite foil lesson, and that was an amazing feeling. So after maybe 3-4 attempts, I was able to launch the kite and go for the first 200 meters on a foil. And it was like an effortless feeling, flying, no more shocks, which you are used as a kite surfer from the twin tip riding in choppy waters. And that was an amazing feeling, and it was cool to be able to learn that so fast. And I was lucky to not hurt myself. The conditions were quite good in terms of waves and wind conditions. I guess this is very important if you learn something new, that the conditions are right, the equipment is right, and the right instructor. Yeah. So Gunnar did a very good job, I would say. He told me what to do, what not to do, and then you learn kite foiling if you can kite surf already quite fast, I guess.
I had some trouble because I just bought gear, kite foil gear, and I kite surfed a bit. And the switch from leaning against the kite to just standing on top of the board, it took me some time to get used to, or to learn that I had to stand on the board and not lean against the kite.
Yes, I guess it's about the right moment, get the right instruction, be in the right mood to do it, and having the right gear. That was, I remember, a Takuma. I guess it was the right size and everything. And but anyway, it needs time. You need to focus and prepare yourself for a big journey. And off the kite surfing, kite foiling, I tried as well on a windsurf, because I was a windsurfer as well. And I felt windsurfing is the most safe sport to learn foiling, because you always can hold on the sail, which is connected to the board, and you will never touch the foil. And with the kite, it's different. Yeah. I guess there was a lot of accidents during kite foiling for a lot of people, as well some friends of mine who learned it earlier than me had some cuts, and and the most difficult foiling sport, I guess, it's pump foiling, because you just have your board, the foil, nothing to hold with your hands. Maybe with a foil scooter, that's something different. But pump foiling, for me, I guess it's the most difficult discipline to learn, but it is the core. If you can pump foil and improve in pump foiling and do a lot of pump foiling, it's the core or the base to do other foiling sports and to improve the other foiling disciplines. And this is amazing. We can do it in front of our office on the lake. You don't need wind. You don't need lakes, nothing. You can go every day and whatever time. So this is the very cool thing.
And it's really cool. I mean, for those of you who are watching, the office is just next to the Lake of Zurich. There's a dock just outside of it. Do you take lunch breaks and go pump foiling?
We did some, yes. So summer was quite short, but in August we did, and before as well. Personally, I do it Thursday late afternoon after 4 o'clock. It's my slot to do pump foiling. In general, we are a bit understaffed, so we have a lot of pressure and a lot of things to do, but we try to go on the water as often as possible. Unfortunately, not every day.
Yeah, it's fun that you said that pump foiling is the hardest sport, and it's, you know, when you know how to pump foil, it should be easier to progress in any other sport involving a foil. Yet pump foiling is the only thing that I can do, believe it or not. But I will get into something else, because as you say, it's should be easier, especially for example if you're getting into SUP. And I want to talk about that, because I know that you are big into SUP, you're big into pump foiling, and you're also getting into SUP foiling with your boards and stuff. So if you agree, I would like to take the conversation on that direction.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So, were you working? You started working at Indiana after you were a foiler, after you became a foiler.
No. We founded 2010 Indiana SUP, Indiana Stand-Up Paddling, under the slogan "From the Street to the Ocean." My ex-partner Christoph, he founded Indiana Skateboards '89 already. And Indiana Skateboards was quite famous for its slalom and longboard decks. We had flex decks that was quite big in the 90s and beginning of 2000. And we were doing a lot of competitions, organizing events, and we had a great team traveling through Europe, going to the competitions. The whole team was quite successful. We had girls and other guys being European champion, world champion. And the sport was always a big part of my life, but as a hobby. I used to study physical education. So I wanted to be a sports teacher, but then I had a bad back injury. I broke my backbone during snowboarding right after the study. So I had to change a little bit my goals in life. And I went into event and communication business. We did a lot of sport events. And I was responsible for public relations, doing the media work. And parallel, I was doing skateboard races and organizing the team and the events.
With your broken back?
Yeah, after a few months, that was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I did not want to be dependent on my body for my lifetime. So I changed the business from sport teacher to the communication topic. And so 2008 and 2009, stand-up paddling came up. I was doing the first time in Hawaii, 2008, some stand-up paddling. I was there for surfing and kitesurfing, and it was fun. The first session, I have to admit, after 10 minutes, I threw the paddle away and paddled like normal prone style into the waves and jumped on the board because it was in the waves. It was somehow too complicated for me with the big board and the paddle. But then I managed to paddle and go on the flat.
Was it a balance thing or just the coordination between like the board or the board and the paddle?
Exactly. Everything like balance, coordination, turning the board in the right moment into the wave and catching it, standing on the right point. So that's not easy. Yeah. But in the following years, I learned how to love that sport. So in terms of waves, I like most stand-up paddling, surfing.
Okay.
Yeah. So 2008, I touched the first time stand-up paddling, and then through social media, we learned it's something coming. And then Christoph and myself decided to open a branch of Indiana, the Indiana SUP. Mm-hmm. And together we founded the brand Indiana Stand Up Paddling. And 2010, we offered the two first stand up paddle models, which was a 10-6 and an 11-6 and one paddle, one size paddle to cut. And that was the start. And from then, it was going up from every season. We had more customers, more models. The sport itself developed a lot.
Can I just ask quick, these first models, they weren't inflatable ones?
Yes. That time, back in 2010, it was only rigid, yeah, coming from longboard construction. So EPS foam, fiberglass carbon, etc. And then 2014, the first inflatable came up as well in Switzerland. And we had the idea that we should grow as well together with inflatable. It's another style. It's more practical than a very good feeling on the water that time because they were not so stiff than they are now. But we increased the sales a lot, yeah, because many people could afford, because it's cheaper, they could afford to store it and transport it. And so that was a game changer. After 2014, we increased sales a lot.
That's so cool. Is it the same logo? I see a fin on the feather.
So it's the feather was developed 2018 when we changed the brand name from Indiana SUP to Indiana Paddle and Surf.
Okay.
Because we, after 2014, we took as well surfing, because we like surfing as well, behind the boat, on the river, on the static wave, and on these city surf waves. And as well, foiling came into 2017. So we had the feeling to change the brand into a more multi water sport brand name, which was Indiana Paddle and Surf. And on the specific products, it's a single brand like Indiana Surf, Indiana Foil, or Indiana Sup. But yeah, to answer your question, it's a feather to show the relation to the nature, to the a feather is a symbol for light, feather light, or the kind of a lifestyle, not a heavy lifestyle, so a light lifestyle, enjoy life, enjoy nature, enjoy sports, etc. And inside the feather, there's a board including the fin.
Yeah, we can see it here.
Yes, right. You're right.
And also here. Behind you. Honestly, it's like probably the most beautiful logo, the smartest logo in the market, honestly. I loved it.
Thank you very much.
And then so from 2017, you moved onto Foyas as well, or later on?
Yes, we had a strong feeling to develop foils, because I immediately felt it's cool, it's a nice feeling, more people would like to do this. So in Switzerland, we already knew foiling from America's Cup, from Alinghi, from windsurf and kite foil racing as well. Together with Gunnar, we had the opportunity with a very skilled guy, and a guy with a lot of expertise and experience.
Thank you.
Experience collaborating and developed the first products, which was on the market 2018. We had the 850, which was a multi-sport foil for winter foiling, kite foiling, and wake foiling. Not able to pump foil with this. And then 1 year later, we came up with the first downwind foil race front wing, which was the 1115 front wing. And then as well the 1100P, which is till now the most successful front wing in our range. Hundreds of people learned pump foiling with that foil. It's easy. It's on the psychological side, nothing.
No sharp edges.
Yeah. The tips are bent downward. So everybody knows, oh, it's almost not possible to hurt yourself. And it has a good range in speed and maneuverability. And I guess it's a very easy foil to learn till now. And a lot of our ambassadors learned with that foil. And then later we learned that we need to improve more speed, more glide. All this was very fast. If you follow foil development the last few years, it's crazy. Every few weeks or month, a new concept is popping up through social media, through riders. And thanks to our foiling development teams, we have a part of a team as well in Constance with Andy and Jan. They are a lot on the water. They are following what's going on. They are listening and discussing with other guys all over the world. And Gunnar is doing his job and connections in Fuerteventura, which is more or less a very hot spot in foiling as well. So a lot of brands and team riders are going to Fuerteventura, testing their gear, doing videos. So he sees what's going on as well. He tries out. So I guess this is very important to be open, to see what's going on, to test other gear, to see what is working and what is the marketing of their company telling us, but what is the physics behind and what is the action on the water.
You see many different forms and shapes of foils. Was there like a foil where you said, well, that didn't work, we're not going to come out with that?
It's funny, if you follow Boltz Müller, he's turning up and crossing everything, and he can do it, he can fly. Well. So he's proving physics can work in different ways. But yes, I guess there are some principles coming from the airplane physics and history. Recently, I was visiting Verkehrshaus Luzern, a big museum for airspace and airplane stuff. And there you see a lot of concepts which was working or still are working. It's funny. We have our ideas, our concepts, our profiles, and our style, how we change profiles from the center to the tips. And for sure, we need to discuss and find ways and concepts for our company, for our customer, for our business. We need to focus. Now we decided pump foiling, wing foiling, and downwind foiling. These are our main sports we need to push, and we need to develop product for our community, our customers, coming a lot from landlocked guys, like lake foiling or lake water sports is much different to Australia or New Zealand, which is very much ocean-based, salt water, big waves, big swells, etc. So for sure, we like to offer as well foils, which works amazingly in the waves. But most of our customers are using the foils on lakes, and for sure they need to perform well on lakes.
That makes sense.
But for sure as well on the ocean, because our goal is to grow as well in Europe. You can take Italy with 5,000 kilometers of shoreline. So we need to give the Italians and the French and the Spanish guys good products as well.
But it's mainly foils and boards en masse, obviously, but not the things flying.
Yes. So we are a small team, and our resources and money and time is limited. So we need to focus on less things and do this better. Yeah. This is our idea how to be successful in the future. We had a project in mind, but then COVID up and down came. So a lot of stock is still lying around in wings. Prices dropped. Then there is a lot of things going on with materials. A lot of try and error, and the big companies can afford this, but we cannot go into this game trying out new materials, throwing away a whole batch of wings because it's not working after half a year. Things like that. So we focus on boards and foils, and as well in terms of equipment we offered so far, we need to reduce as well in standard paddling. We skip racing.
Yeah.
There is a lot of effort needed and a lot of money to produce, to make new boards for a very little margin and a very little target group. So we stay there in touring and river and surfing and just having fun, like with all round products. Then surfing, we focus on city surfboards. So we skip out of the wake surfing and ocean surfing market. We offered as well prone surfing, like the 10-6 ILS or 12-12-0 prone boards. So we skip this as well and go full power into this pump foiling and wing foiling, downwind foiling.
I think it's a smart move, especially because you said that you want to focus a bit more on the lake market. So yeah, it's just smarter to reduce the market and do less things better than 100 things a little bit, you know.
Exactly. And the competition is quite parallel to snowboarding like 30 years ago. We have, I guess, around 200 brands offering wings, the inflatable wings for wing foiling. And in foiling, it's a bit more complicated, but I guess it's more than 100 as well, and in boards as well. But producing foils and boards and transporting it and storing it with warehousing, it's more complicated. So I would say a lot of companies just can produce whatever wing, transport it and send it away. It was like it's the same thing happening with kites a few years ago. Everybody can do a kite business out of his own garage, having not much risk, can sending around a small carton with one wing in it. So it can be copy-pasted by more guys than the hardware stuff. If you go into the foil, the hardware foil business and the board business, you need more capacity and more room to do that business. Oh, sorry, I have to admit, it would be very interesting to go into that wing market, like the inflatable wing product, because there are numbers around that companies sell per one board 3 or 3.5 wings. So that's what was motivating us to think about going into this business.
And it's also really cool as a customer if you go somewhere and you just get the whole package. And you know, this wing works with that board. I'm a beginner, so I take this. And that's for a customer, that's a lot easier.
Yes, I have to admit this, but for us, it's not possible. So we had a cooperation with Ozone. So we could print our logo in the factory in Vietnam on very well developed and nicely produced wings without any headache, no warranty issues. Yeah. So we still have these products in our offer. So customer can buy Indiana wing produced by Oso.
All right.
It's not our own project. And in the future, we will have a Swiss cooperation together with Enzis. We started to develop the foils together.
Yeah.
And for sure, we will have some packages possible with Enzis wings.
All right. Oh, that's cool.
I guess you're still doing some paddling, and then you got into pump foiling. And are you also into something else, downwinding?
Yes. We started already, I guess, 2 years ago, downwind foil boards together with Gunnar. And we had about 4 models, presenting them 2 years ago at the boat show Düsseldorf. I guess we were quite quick to develop them and produce them and put it on the market. Many guys were quite happy to use them, as well as Steve Fleury, our team rider. He used it a lot on Lake Le Mans.
Or like Geneva.
So for us, this is very important to have this route coming from the paddling and having since a few years the foiling. So we have to merge these two sports together. That and for sense. Sure, we will push a lot downwind or paddle up foiling with the paddle in hand.
Do you do that?
I did a few tries, but I had not enough time to train myself, so I cannot say I can do it. But it's one of my goals to do paddle up foiling or downwind foiling. I was focused on pump foiling, yeah. Dock start foiling, which I guess still is the base. And if you can do pump foiling and coming from paddling, stand-up paddling, you can
for you, it should be an easy one.
Yes, but you need time and fitness and yeah. So
what? But obviously, you're very knowledgeable about what board one should take. I tried the downwinder yesterday with my 100 liter. I'm a little over 70, and it was. I would have preferred a little bigger one because I fold for 2 meters maybe on that 4.5 kilometer run. So what do you suggest someone who wants to buy a board for downwinding?
Yeah, it's always the same. The thing or the board you are learning on will not be the right thing to buy. So go make lessons or try bigger boards, make experiences. There is, for example, a Subclub Neo, which is run by our ambassador, Steve Fleury. He developed with us 880 stand-up downwind foil boards, which are excellent on the lake to accelerate, to go into foiling, to have fun. But maybe then it will be a different, a smaller product. Once you can do it, you always have fun with a smaller one, more narrow, less volume, more agile one. But you need to get into it. And if you start on a too small board, it's the same like in surfing or stand-up paddling. You lose quite fast the motivation because it's too frustrating falling in every 5 seconds.
We're going to link that school in the comments. All right. So I find it later on and you can get some lessons.
But I guess this is a big vacuum. So not enough water sports stations are offering downwind foil courses. I guess it's a bit Wild West. Everybody tries on his own or find small groups. For sure, there's some groups on social media you can find. But then it's always, you need to find as well the right conditions, right time, right spot, the right equipment, the right guys. So as well in terms of organization of the whole trip, starting here, going there, coming back. So in Switzerland, we are quite fortunate with public transport. Yep. So Steve is taking a lot, the trains, and which is amazing.
I tried to get in the bus with my 156 centimeters of span, and I had to wait for the next bus because I had to unscrew it and get in. And I was there with my wetsuit. There are probably a bunch. There's a WhatsApp group that I'm in, made by Jonas Hiller.
Oh,
Are you in that
former
group as well?
NHL.
Yes,
super goalkeeper. Yeah.
And he's actually in at the race in France at the moment, doing a downwind race.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Gwen on the next I think episode 7 it will be. We're going to talk to Gwen Le Tutour. Do you know him?
Okay.
Maybe? And he's on the race as well. Yeah. And if you hear it, it should be already over. But yes, there's this group, and I'm sure one would lend his gear maybe so if you cannot get into that school, maybe you find some friends who can help you out for the first 1-2
Yes, for sure. We have some boards here in the showroom in Oberrieden. Lake of Zurich is not famous for its wind and downwind conditions, more for sailing or stand-up paddling or pump foiling. I guess it was some kind of an epicenter of pump foiling.
Yeah. It's probably the Mecca.
It's a lot of guys doing pump foiling, Nate and Day, and summer and winter. So, but then I guess Lake Geneva is the thing, or Lake Neuenburg.
Lake Neuchâtel is also Neuchâtel, pretty big.
Amazing conditions. Yeah, unfortunately. I was not able to start already by myself the downwind foiling journey, but it's on my pocket list for sure.
But you're like going into the waves with your pump foil when the ships pass.
We try, yes. A few, like two villages down there towards Zurich, there's an amazing spot to chase the big boat waves. Yeah. And my best experience was in Lake of Thun. There's one passenger boat making a huge wave.
The Oberland, probably, huh?
Yeah. I cannot remember the name, but it's amazing. If you catch that one on a glassy Lake of Thun, it's fantastic.
But yeah, I liked what you said in terms of not many people are actually teaching pump foiling and downwind foiling, yet a lot of surf schools are complaining about not having clients and stuff, but this is actually a very good point. Like, just bring someone in who can teach this stuff, and you know how many clients you can get. These are very, very, there's a gap in the market actually. Like, people
totally
want to get
agree.
Into these sports. Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. It needs to go up like like a thread. So you cannot sit there and complaining about there is no customer. I guess there is always a customer if you offer something or like in that case, a foiling lesson. And you need to show what is foiling. So if you're motivated and if you have guys in the school, they go out and immediately, I mean, it's always like this. If there is a foiler out somewhere, some people are coming, watch it and ask, what is this? And so immediately you get interest, and for sure there's always one or more people being motivated to take lessons and pay for it. And for sure, it's something you need to pay for it. A lot of people are taking personal trainers or food coaches or whatever. So if you want to learn in a safe and good way foiling, you need to pay, unless you have a good friend or some guys in your environment taking time for you, coaching you with videos, giving advices. I guess it's a big opportunity as well for sailing clubs or rowing clubs, especially the sailing clubs, because instead of waiting to the wind and being whiny about no wind days, you can motivate the young guys starting pump foiling, having fun, having adrenaline, working on balance skills, and as well interval physical training. Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
We all know that.
And like for all sailing clubs, it would be an amazing thing. They are on the spots, they have amazing sites and infrastructure with showers during the winter, but that needs time. We already have some sailing clubs around us doing pump foiling, but there is, I guess, it's about 200 sailing clubs in Switzerland organized by the Swiss Sailing, which we are a sponsor of. So I see there a huge potential to bring in a lot of young people into especially pump foiling.
And as you said, it is perfect, as we are so many. I come from sailing. I sailed Optimist when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now my sons are getting into sailing. Yeah. And I'm going to be at the port all the time. And I was there on a training a couple of months ago. And yeah, that was, I went pump foiling and everyone wanted to try my gear, and I wasn't able anymore to pump because I was just handing out my board and the way too big wing for these kids, but they enjoy themselves so much, and it's so cool.
And I guess as well, then the transfer coming from sailing and learning pump foiling, I've seen the very small classes for the kids. They already are adopted with the foil, right? So the small sailing classes get foils under the boats, and I guess, yeah, it makes sense. You can have more fun and more speed with less good conditions.
But speaking of interesting stuff, tell us something about your boards. First of all, I really want to tell you that I love your designs. The colors is something that you never see anywhere else. It's very, very original. Yeah.
And yeah, thank you.
How do you always come with these colors and like new styles?
First of all, we have a very, very good and skilled graphic designer, Jan Indermühle, being since almost 40 years with the brand Indiana connected and coming up with his ideas and his proposals. And it's always something good which is accepted and loved on the market. And then we have a very skilled graphic a product designer, Lorenza. She is adopting all these symbols and ideas into their very specific products, and she's doing the product files that the factory knows exactly what to do. And then we have some artist ambassadors like Steve Fleury, being an artist, doing with his fingers some graphic designs. That's why
was that how called, the rabbit there was made?
The rabbit was a cooperation with different inputs, but okay. Finally it was done by Jan and Lorenza. And Steve Fleury is called as well Ledois, because he's doing a lot with his finger.
Oh, and that's the Ledois, why the long design board is called Ledois.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So this is more or less his nickname. He's coming up with amazing designs, new colors, fresh stuff, and we always giving him some space in our whole range. And normally or always it's accepted and loved by lots of people as well. The fresh colors, like 5 years ago, the Ledois downwind boards with yellow and pink.
So cool.
I could not imagine that it would be accepted like 5 years ago. But this year it was like boom. Everybody loved it, and the boards are working amazingly. I guess two of the three sizes are sold out at the moment, and we will improving it. So we are never sitting there and just be happy. So as well, because the riders are always pushing us, looking for more performance, more things to do more extreme stuff. And so we are working right now with new prototypes for downwind foil boards, lightwind wing boards.
Is that not the same?
It was the same. So Steve and Andy Wittmann, they developed together the Ledois lightwind wing boards, which are used as well for downwind.
Yeah. I saw boards. Rob on roll once, yes. on the downwind.
Yeah. It's interesting. These boards are working amazingly good for both disciplines, but we will split it. So the target groups are not the same always, and we can improve the product into downwind pump foil, downwind foiling on the legs, and lightwind winging. Okay. So it will be in the future two product ranges. But still, you can do both boards, but with the focus on one sport.
For sure. Yeah, I do agree. Like, for example, an intermediate downwind board that could do both, downwinding and wing foiling. But then if you really want to look for the performance, you cannot really do something that works for both. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sense. Always. So we will offer always like all in one board. They can do everything, but if you are looking for one specific sport, or if you do mostly one specific sport, then you find always a specific product in our range.
Makes sense.
So, but it's always a question of time and money and space or family. If you have a Fahrway bus and a big family, so you don't. You are not allowed to have like six boards. So then you take maybe just one or two all round boards or all in one boards and being happy.
Yeah, sure. I was in Spain 2 weeks ago, and I put everything in like the box on the roof and in the car. And there was a little space left for like
for your wife.
Clothes and toys of the kids, and I felt a little bad. Yeah, it's a problem.
And in terms of shape, because it's always a hot topic, and I'm pretty sure that you can tell something about, because everybody's coming out with these new crazy shapes, especially in the downwinding. And what's your take? What's your direction? If you can tell something, because we don't want to steal your secrets.
Yeah, I can tell that it's moving fast forward, and it's very complicated for brands being on top of that movement. So if you follow the big guys on Instagram, it's a lot of prototypes, a lot of custom made stuff. And then the big brands are following it. And so as a small brand, we need to take care about what will be accepted on the market. So we have our own ideas, but we are too small be 100% successful with the whole ideas when the whole Instagram is full of other concepts in details. Yeah. So we always need to find a little mix between what is working on the market, what is the demand on the market, what do you see on Instagram, and what is our own idea, our own concept and little details. So it's always the big job to find the right mix of all this and to bring it on the right time with the right price and in the right amount. So we had very good products in the past, but then boom, they were sold out. And then you need, you need a few months to reproduce it and transport it. So our goal is to have smaller batches with always small improvements. So I guess this is our recipe for the future. To have not every year like a big batch coming out, but smaller batches with maybe 3 or 4 month rhythm.
So when you scroll through Instagram, are you scared of seeing something new and thinking like, oh no, we have to adapt to that?
Often I get messages from guys, from friends or ambassadors. Hey, have you seen this? Have you seen that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's always good to be informed what's going on. But you need to follow as well your path and do your thing, because otherwise you turn crazy in the office.
I can imagine. Mm.
Yeah. And you have all these crazy riders, Rob, and also other very, very young foilers. Yeah. How do you find them? They found you. You found them.
I guess for all, like, we have more than 60 or 70 ambassadors now. It's for every single one. It's a special story. It's a special relation. It's a special coincidence. Maybe it's not a coincidence, but I guess it's some kind of energy. If it's flowing good, and then you find, or they find us, or it needs to be relaxed. So if you have a good feeling, and if the chemistry behind it's fine, we start. So we are not in the position of a global brand with a big budget, and we cannot go and pick the top guys and pay a lot for them. So it needs to be some familiar stuff. So they need to find our brand cool, the products cool. So this is in general a very important thing. So we cannot hire ambassadors just because we pay money and they have to use it and tell everybody it's cool, but they do maybe prefer other things. So it's important. They need to be trustful. And if they really like our gear and like to ride it, then they can communicate to others and say from heart they like to ride our gear, and then they are trustful on the beach, and then the whole concept with ambassadors is working.
I feel like, well, first of all, we're going to have Rob on Rolls. He's going to be on our podcast as well in future episodes. So cool. Stay tuned for that. And I think the whole foiling community is so cool. Everyone helps each other out. It's not like, I can imagine, like surfing. You have to elbow yourself into a wave, but it's more like people helping each other out, giving tips and whatnot. So I think that's really cool in this foiling world.
It's amazing. Yes. It reminds me a bit of the very first years of snowboarding. It was so fun if you were spotting a snowboarder in the area, like going back, I would say 88, 89. So it's kind of a same feeling. Yeah. We are on the same page. Everybody had to do the same suffering, right, in pump foiling and achieve then the 1 minute. So, it's a good connection, and hopefully it will be the same connection and feeling even when the whole sport or movement is growing.
Yeah.
And we talked about boards and about foils. Do you have something again that you can tell that is coming up?
You just change your system, right, with the foil and the stab.
Yeah. So we improved it as a new line, this monoblock line, where the fuselage is integrated in the front wing, which makes less drag, more glide, more speed, less screws. So it's really cool. It's more plug and play, but it's still compatible with all the musts, even with the aluminium musts, thanks to the adapters and all the new flat mount stabilizers are compatible with that system, or as well the old fuselage system, which is still used for the big span wings such as Condor XL and Manta XL, because there you really need a solid fat aluminium fuselage which can take like 250% more rotation power. But we will come for next season with more bigger span wings with the monoblock system included, because it's all about more performance, more speed, longer distance, and as well here in that sport we cannot sitting in the couch and just sell. So we still need to improve and develop new things, and I'm really looking forward to new products which you will hear next spring.
But I can imagine that's also a difficult thing. You don't want to change your gear all the time, so people who just bought something feel like they miss out on the new thing. It's probably also a balance.
Yes. You need to bring new things, because there are always guys on the market looking for the freshest and fastest stuff. So you need to give them something. But on the other side, you need to keep compatibilities. Sometime you have to take a decision. And so after the very successful regular foil line, where we put the fuselage into the front wings, we need to get rid of this system. So all these old front wings and stabilizers are not anymore compatible with the new fuselage system. Yeah. So there we had to do a cut. It was, I guess, 3 years ago, but it was worth. Sometimes you have to keep the history behind you and open the field for the future and a more successful food.
Because there's so much change.
Yes. I guess all the brands, they had some steps in or breaks in compatibilities, but it was worth it, because the handling, the performance is just much better. Musts is a very special or important topic. So we were improving always a lot the carbon musts, the profile. So we have now the ride musts, the lightning musts, and as well the aluminium charger must with a new faster profile, which makes no troubles at all, even if it's gusty and a lot of difficult situations, especially in wing foiling. We will add new sizes. We will go up to 96 centimeters with a 14 millimeter very fast mast.
Oh, wow.
Especially for wing foiling.
But that's going to be carbon, super high density.
Yes, ultra high modulus carbon. So there you need to find the best carbon available and still being on the price side accepted on the market. But it's worth a good must makes much more fun than a bad must.
Yeah.
So all at the end, all these parts, maybe a few years ago, everybody was talking about front wings, then stabilizers, which was a lot underestimated, I guess. Stabilizer can make huge difference.
And in terms of rigidity or
just performance, glide, maneuverability, agility in roll axes, okay, for example, and yeah, glide and speed.
Okay.
And as well, control. Yeah.
Everything, please.
Yeah. depending on the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, in pump foiling, you're between maybe 15 and 25 kilometers per hour, but the fast winging guys,
they want
going
stuff
like 50, 60 kilometers.
That's
and
crazy.
Then the kite foilers, even much more, 70, 80.
Yeah.
But these guys, we cannot please. They are specialized kite surf companies.
And on this note, we are going smaller and smaller and thinner and thinner. Do you think that they are really going to disappear, stabs, in the future? Because like I met in Bielbien, Matt was there, Rob and
Balz.
And Balz, and they were having fun with my set and Rob's set, so Indiana set, without stab or with a silly microscopic stab.
Yes.
With a like 3D printed. So do you think that is something that they're gonna just somehow some people one day get rid of?
No, I guess guys like Balz and Rob can prove it's working without the stab. But even when they want to be fast and do radical curves and jumps and everything, they need as well, these guys need a stab. But it's always good to go into the extreme side to come back a little bit and find the sweet spot. So if you don't
you have to find the limit first.
Yeah. If you need to go over the limit and then realize the limit
it
is here.
Yeah.
For this kind of sport and speed and type of rider, to find the sweet spot which is working for like most of the people, and then you will always have extreme guys in extreme situations doing completely something different. But a stabilizer will be always needed, but we are always already going quite small with the Condor X.
How small is
X
that?
Small. It's below 100. So giving a lot of fun, even myself have a lot of fun with the Condor X Large with that small stabilizer. But if it comes to the Condor Medium, which is has a span of 126, I need a bigger stab, otherwise I'm not able to start.
Yeah.
So it's always
finding
an individual
yeah,
decision, and you cannot say this small stab is working,
yeah,
for everybody in all sports. So
yeah. And I'm not sure if Matt has another question, or maybe you want to share something. But before that, I want to ask you, like, if you have some tips to tell, like, maybe people, I don't know, from the US don't really know the brand, and if you have like an advice to give them. We know that you have a very performant big front wing, and then you have a smaller front wings, for example, the one that Rob is using. So if you want to give some general advice, general tips, suggestions.
Okay, so I guess people must know what are their wishes, or what is the main goal. Is it more long distance? Then for sure we offer the Condor X Large or the Manta X Large, which is holding as well the world record in long distance or long time pumping with 4 hours, 2 minutes by Nicholas Eaton. And then if customers more like to do turns and tricks and chasing waves, then for sure it will be more the Condor Medium for like bigger guys, 70, 80, 90 kilos, or the Condor Small with a span of 1.10 meter for lighter persons, maybe 70, 60, 50, 40 kilos. And
which is the one that Rob is using, isn't it?
Yes, Rob has Condor Small, exactly. Yeah, but he's using a lot of things.
Yeah, I think his favorite one is the very high aspect one, and it's quite small. Quite fast, so
yes, I guess that is the Barracuda medium with a span of 95 centimeter, but a surface of only 850, and it's amazing that Rob can launch that, can dog start it,
and it looks so effortless too.
Yeah,
always.
It's fast. It's an aspect ratio with more than 10, I guess 10.6. And a lot of glide and speed, and he's a very skilled and talented rider, and as well light, so that helps. So the bigger guys, 90-100 kilo, they will never be able to start such a foil. But that is as well an important thing. So not all the foils giving pleasure to one guy can be the good choice for another guy. So. I guess that's another input. So test it and be patient in testing. You cannot take the foil of your friend just for 2 minutes, 2-3 tries, and give an opinion about this. So you need really to spend time, do dozens of starts, changing positions, because your position might be very good for you, but I will maybe not able to start gear with your position. It
needs a lot of time too.
It's a question of 2 centimeters, and it can be, this is brutal in this sport, especially in pump foiling. 2 centimeters can be totally frustration, or totally fly and having adrenaline and being the happiest guy in the world. And this is important. So and as well difficult. Who tells you about these 2 centimeters, and how do you find out? So it comes back to the groups, to social media, to the organization, finding guys on the beach with more experience and giving you the right advices, or going into a water sports school with skilled teachers giving you the right equipment with the right setup. So this is crazy. If you're coming from skateboarding or snowboarding or maybe even surfing, the position does not matter so much. You will do always your turn or manage to go down. But with the wrong setup of your foil, you just not 1 meter
off.
It's like that, but you need to know.
All right, we just, because we're over an hour already, you go on long vacation, so you have a lot to do still. I have just one last little question, and you addressed it a little bit. So that world record, how much more eyeballs did you get? How much more people saw your brand due to that world record? How important was that for you?
That was very, very important. I guess that world record went over the world in all these forums and communities. I was very happy about it, because it's a fact. So nobody can doubt it, and you don't need to discuss if that wing can do it or not. It was just Indiana Condor X Large, thanks to the amazing effort of Nicholas Eaton with the 4 hours 2 minutes. So I'm getting feedbacks from Peru, from Chicama, from a Tauin foiler. They knew Indiana already, thanks to the world record of Nicholas Eaton. So such things are very important, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So thank you very much. Speaking of long distance, our next episode is going to be with Ludo Freefoiler. He's not doing 4 hours. He's doing an hour and more than an hour runs, which for me is pretty long distance. Still, we're going to talk to him about how he got into foiling, what gear he uses. And we're going to see you in the next one on YouTube. On Apple Podcast, on Spotify. You can find us. We're going to link all you said in the video description. And thank you for coming on. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Good luck with your podcasts. And see you on the water.
Thank you very much.